He had given me a piece of himself that he had never given to another human being. And I hadn't even bothered to look at it. Why was I doing that? One day he blurted out that he'd finally gone to see a counselor. I was hoping he wouldn't tell me anything about his counseling session. He didn't. I was glad about that. And then I was sort of mad he didn't. Okay, so I was moody. And inconsistent. Yeah, that's what I was. Dante kept looking at me. What? Are you going to go? Where? To see a counselor, you idiot. No. No? I looked at my legs. I could see he wanted to say I'm sorry again. But he didn't. It helped, he said. Going to the counselor? It wasn't so bad. It really did help. Are you going back? Maybe. I nodded. Talking doesn't help everybody. Dante smiled. Not that you'd know. I smiled back. Yeah. Not that I'd know. 8. I don't know how it happened, but one morning Dante came over and decided he'd be the one to give me a sponge bath. Is it okay? He said. Well, it's kind of my mom's job, I said. She said it was okay, he said. You asked her? Yeah. Oh, I said. Still, it's really her job. Your dad? He's never bathed you? No. Shaved you? No. I don't want him to. Why not? I just don't. He was quiet. I won't hurt you. You've already hurt me. That's what I wanted to say. Those were the words that entered my head. Those were the words I wanted to slap him with. The words were mean. I was mean. Let me, he said. Instead of telling him to go screw himself, I said okay. I'd learned to make myself perfectly passive when my mother bathed and shaved me. I would shut my eyes and think about the characters in the book I was reading. Somehow that got me through. I closed my eyes. I felt Dante's hands on my shoulders, the warm water, the soap, the washcloth. Dante's hands were bigger than my mother's, and softer. He was slow, methodical, careful. He made me feel as fragile as porcelain. I never once opened my eyes. We didn't say a word. I felt his hands on my bare chest, on my back. I let him shave me. When he was done, I opened my eyes. Tears were falling down his face. I should have expected that. I wanted to yell at him. I wanted to tell him that it was me who should be crying. Dante had this look on his face. He looked like an angel. And all I wanted to do was put my fist through his jaw. I couldn't stand my own cruelty. 9. 3 weeks and 2 days after the accident, I went to the doctor's office to get new casts and x-rays. My father took the day off. On the way to the doctor's office, my dad was very talkative, which was very weird. August 30th, my dad said. Okay, so that was my birthday. I thought maybe you'd like a car. A car? Shit. Yeah, I said. I don't drive. You can learn. You said you didn't want me driving.
I never said that. It was your mom who said that.
I couldn't see my mom's face from the back seat, and I couldn't exactly lean over. And what does my mom think?
You mean your mom, the fascist?
Yeah, her, I said. We all busted out laughing.
So what do you say, Ari?
My dad sounded like a boy. I think I'd like, you know, one of those lowrider cars.
My mother didn't skip a beat. Over my dead body! I lost it. I think I probably laughed for 5 minutes straight. My father joined in the fun. Okay, I said finally. Seriously?
Seriously.
I'd like an old pickup truck. My mother and father exchanged glances. We can make that happen, my mother said. I only have 2 questions. The first question is this. Are you getting me a car because you feel bad that I'm an invalid? My mother was ready for that one. No. You'll be an invalid for another 3 or 4 weeks. Then you'll do some therapy. Then you'll be fine. And you won't be invalid. You'll just return to being a pain in the ass. My mother never cussed. This was serious business. What was your second question? Which of the two of you are going to give me driving lessons? They both answered at the same time. I am. I figured I'd let them fight it out. 10. I hated living in the small and claustrophobic atmosphere of my house. It didn't feel like home anymore. I felt like an unwanted guest. I hated being waited on all the time. I hated that my parents were so patient with me. I did. That's the truth. They didn't do anything wrong. They were just trying to help me. But I hated them. And I hated Dante, too. And I hated myself for hating them. So there it was, my own vicious cycle. My own private universe of hate. I thought it would never be over. I thought my life would never get better. But it did get better with my new casts. I could bend my knees. I used Fidel for another week. Then my arm cast came off and I could use my crutches. I asked my dad to put Fidel in the basement so I wouldn't have to look at that stupid wheelchair ever again. With the full use of my hands, I could bathe myself. I took out my journal and this is what I wrote. I took a shower! I was actually almost happy. Me, Ari, almost happy. Your smile is back. That's what Dante said. Smiles are like that. They come and go. My arm was sore. The physical therapist gave me some exercises. Look at me. I can move my arm. Look at me. I woke up one day, made my way to the bathroom, and stared at myself in the mirror. Who are you? I made my way to the kitchen. My mom was there, drinking a cup of coffee and looking over her lesson plans for the new school year. Planning for the future, Mom? I like to be prepared. I sat myself down across from her. You're a good Girl Scout. You hate that about me, don't you? Why do you say that? You hated that whole thing, that whole scout thing. Dad made me go. You ready to go back to school? I held up my crutches. Yeah, I get to wear shorts every day. She poured me a cup of coffee and combed my hair with her fingers. You want a haircut? No. I like it. She smiled. I like it too. We drank coffee together, me and my mom. We didn't talk a lot. Mostly I watched her look through her folders. The morning light always came through the kitchen, and just then she looked young. I thought she was really beautiful. She was beautiful. I envied her. She had always known exactly who she was. I wanted to ask her, Mom, when will I know who I am? But I didn't. Me and my crutches walked back into my room and took out my journal. I'd been avoiding writing in it. I think I was afraid all my anger would spill out on the pages. And I just didn't want to look at all that rage. It was a different kind of pain. A pain I couldn't stand. I tried not to think. I just started writing. School starts in 5 days. Junior year. Guess I'll have to go to school on crutches. Everyone will notice me. Shit. I see myself driving down a desert road in a pickup, no one else around. I'm listening to Los Lobos. I see myself lying on the bed of the pickup truck, staring up at all the stars. No light pollution. Physical therapy will be coming up soon. Doctor says swimming will be very good.
Swimming will make me think of Dante. Shit. When I'm well enough, I'm going to start lifting weights. Dad has his old weights in the basement. Dante's leaving in a week. I'm glad. I need a break from him. I'm sick of him coming over every day just because he feels bad. I don't know if we will ever be friends again. I want a dog. I want to walk him every day. Walking every day. I am in love with that thought. I don't know who I am. What I really want for my birthday. For someone to talk about my brother. I want to see his picture on one of the walls of our house. Somehow I'd hoped that this would be the summer that I would discover that I was alive. The world my mom and dad said was out there waiting for me. That world doesn't actually exist. Dante came over that evening. We sat on the steps of the front porch. He stretched out his arm, the one that had been broken in the accident. I stretched out my arm, the one that had been broken in the accident. "All better," he said. We both smiled. "When something gets broken, it can be fixed." He stretched out his arm again. "Good as new." "Maybe not good as new," I said, "but good anyway." His face had healed. In the evening light, he was perfect again. "I went swimming today," he said. "How was it?" "I love swimming." "I know," I said. "I love swimming," he said again. He was quiet for a little while. And then he said, "I love swimming. And you." I didn't say anything. "Swimming and you, Ari. Those are the things I love the most." "You shouldn't say that," I said. "It's true." I didn't say it wasn't true. I just said you shouldn't say it. "Why not?" "Dante, I don't..." "You don't have to say anything. I know that we're different. We're not the same." "No, we're not the same." I knew what he was saying, and I wished to God he was someone else, someone who didn't have to say things out loud. I just kept nodding. "Do you hate me?" I don't know what happened just then. Since the accident, I'd been mad at everyone, hated Dante, hated Mom and Dad, hated myself. Everyone. But right then, I knew I didn't really hate everyone. Not really. I didn't hate Dante at all. I didn't know how to be his friend. I didn't know how to be anybody's friend. But that didn't mean I hated him. "No," I said. "I don't hate you, Dante." We just sat there, not saying anything. "Will we be friends? When I come back from Chicago?" "Yes," I said. "Really?" "Yes. Do you promise?" I looked into his perfect face. "I promise." He smiled. He wasn't crying. 11. Dante and his parents came over to our house the day before they left for Chicago. Our moms cooked together. It didn't surprise me they got along so well. They were alike in some ways. It did surprise me how well Mr. Quintana and my dad got along. They sat in the living room and drank beer and talked about politics. I mean, I guess they more or less agreed about things. Dante and I hung out on the front porch. For some reason, we were both into front porches. We weren't really talking very much. I think we didn't really know what to say to each other. And then I got this idea into my head. I was playing with my crutches. "Your sketch pad is under my bed. Will you go get it for me?" Dante hesitated, but then he nodded. He disappeared into the house and I waited. When he came back, he handed me the sketchbook. "I have a confession to make," I said. "What?" "I haven't looked at it." He didn't say anything. "Can we look at it together?" I said. He didn't say anything, so I just opened up the sketchbook. The first sketch was a self-portrait. He was reading a book. The second sketch was of his father, who was also reading a book. And then there was another self-portrait. Just his own face. You look sad in this one. Maybe I was sad that day. Are you sad now? He didn't answer the question. I flipped the page and stared at a sketch of me. I didn't say anything. There were 5 or 6 sketches he'd done of me the day he'd come over. I studied them carefully. There was nothing careless about his sketches. Nothing careless at all. They were exact and deliberate and full of all the things he felt. And yet they seemed to be so spontaneous. Dante didn't say a word as I looked over his sketches. "They're honest," I said.
"Honest?"
"Honest and true. You're going to be a great artist someday."
"Someday," he said.
"Listen, you don't have to keep the sketchbook. You gave it to me. It's mine." That's all we said. Then we just sat there. We didn't really say goodbye that night. Not really. Mr. Quintana kissed me on the cheek. That was his thing. Mrs. Quintana placed her hand on my chin and lifted my head up. She looked into my eyes as if she wanted to remind me of what she'd said to me in the hospital. Dante hugged me. I hugged him back. "See you in a few months," he said.
"Yeah,"
I said.
"All right,"
he said. I knew he would. I wasn't so sure I'd write back. Me and my mom and dad sat out on the front porch after they'd left. It started to rain and we just sat. Sat and watched the rain in silence. I kept seeing Dante standing in the rain holding a bird with a broken wing. I couldn't tell if he was smiling or not. What if he'd lost his smile? I bit my lip so I wouldn't cry. "I love the rain," my mother whispered. "I love it too. I love it too." I felt like I was the saddest boy in the universe. Summer had come and gone. Summer had come and gone, and the world was ending. Letters on a page. There are some words I'll never learn to spell. 1. First day of school, Austin High School, 1987.
"What happened to you, Ari?"
I had a one-word answer to that question.
"Accident."
Gina Navarro accosted me during lunch and said,
"Accident?"
"Yep," I said.
"That's no answer."
Gina Navarro.
Somehow she felt entitled to hound me because she'd known me since first grade. If there's one thing I knew about Gina, it was that she didn't like simple answers.
"Life is complicated."
That was her motto. What to say? What to say? So I didn't say anything. I just looked at her.
"You're never going to change, are you, Ari?"
"Change is overrated."
"Not that you'd know."
"Yeah, not that I'd know."
"I'm not sure if I like you, Ari."
"I'm not sure if I like you either, Gina."
"Well, not all relationships are based on like."
"Guess not."
"Listen, I'm the closest thing you've ever had to a long-term relationship."
"You're depressing the hell out of me, Gina."
"Don't blame me for your melancholy."
"Melancholy?"
"Look it up. Your sad sack moods are nobody's fault but yours. Just look at yourself, why don't you? You're a mess."
"I'm a mess? Take a hike, Gina. Leave me alone."
"That's your problem. Too much alone. Too much Ari time. Talk."
"Don't want to." I knew she wasn't going to let this go.
"Look, so just tell me what happened."
"I already told you, it was an accident."
"What kind of accident?"
"It's complicated."
"You're mocking me."
"You noticed."
"You're a shit."
"Sure I am."
"Sure you are."
"You're bugging the crap out of me.
You should thank me. At least I'm talking to you. You're the most unpopular guy in the whole school.
I pointed at Charlie Escobedo, who was walking out of the cafeteria. No, that's the most unpopular guy in the whole school. I'm not even a close second. Just then, Susie Bird was walking by. She sat right next to Gina. She stared at my crutches.
What happened?
Accident.
Accident?
That's what he claims.
What kind of accident?
He won't say.
I guess the two of you don't really need me for this conversation, do you? Gina was getting mad. The last time I'd seen that look on her face, she'd thrown a rock at me.
Tell us, she said.
Okay, I said. It was after a rainstorm. Remember the afternoon it hailed? They both nodded. That was the day. Well, there was a guy standing in the middle of the road and a car was coming. And I took a dive and shoved him out of the way. I saved his life. The car ran over my legs. And that's the whole story.
You're so full of shit, Gina said.
It's true, I said.
You expect me to believe that you're some kind of hero?
Are you going to throw a rock at me again?
You really are full of shit, Susie said. Who was he, the guy you supposedly saved?
I don't know. Some guy.
What was his name?
I waited for a little while before I answered. I think his name was Dante.
Dante?
That was his name? Like we believe you?
Gina and Susie gave each other the look. This guy is fucking unbelievable. That look. They both got up from the table and walked away. I was smiling the rest of the day. Sometimes all you have to do is tell people the truth. They won't believe you. After that, they'll leave you alone. 2. My last class of the day was English with Mr. Blocker. Brand new teacher, fresh out of education school, all smiles and enthusiasm. He still thought high school students were nice. He didn't know any better. Dante would have loved him. He wanted to get to know us. Of course he did. New teachers, I always felt sorry for them. They tried too hard. It embarrassed me. The first thing Mr. Blocker did was to ask us to talk about one interesting thing that happened to us during the summer. I always hated this icebreaker bullshit. I made up my mind to ask my mother about teachers and icebreaking exercises. Gina Navarro, Susie Bird, and Charlie Escobedo were in the same class. I didn't like that. Those three, they were always asking me lots of questions. Questions I didn't want to answer. They wanted to get to know me. Yeah, well, I wasn't interested in being known. I wanted to buy a t-shirt that read, "I am unknowable." But that would have only made Gina Navarro ask more questions. So there I was, stuck in a class with Gina, Susie, and Charlie, and a new teacher who liked to ask questions. I sort of halfway listened in on everybody's ideas of what constituted interesting. Johnny Alvarez said he'd learned to drive. Felipe Calderon said he'd gone to L.A. to see his cousin. Susie Bird said she'd gone to Girls State in Austin. Carlos Gallinar claimed to have lost his virginity. Everyone laughed. Who was she? Who was she? Mr. Blocker had to put down a few rules after that. I decided to just check out. I was an excellent daydreamer. I got to thinking about the truck I hoped I'd be getting on my birthday. I was picturing myself driving down a dirt road, clouds in the blue sky, U2 playing in the background. That's when I heard Mr. Blocker's voice aimed in my direction. Mr. Mendoza? At least he said my name right. I looked up at Mr. Blocker. Are you with us? Yes, sir, I said. Then I heard Gina's voice yelling out,
"Nothing interesting ever happens to him."
Everyone laughed. That's true, I said. I thought maybe Mr. Blocker would move on to someone else, but he didn't. He just waited for me to say something. One interesting thing, huh? Gina's right, I said. Nothing really interesting happened to me this summer. Nothing? Getting my legs broken in an accident. I guess that counts as interesting. I nodded, but I felt really uncomfortable, so I decided to be a wise ass like everyone else. Oh, I said. I'd never tried morphine before. That was interesting.
Everybody laughed, especially Charlie Escobedo, who had committed his life to experimenting with mood-altering substances.
Mr. Blocker smiled.
You must have been in some serious pain.
Yeah, I said. Are you going to be okay, Ari?
Yes.
I hated this conversation.
Does it still hurt?
No, I said. It was a small lie. The real answer was longer and more complicated. Gina Navarro was right. Life was complicated.
3. I picked up my journal and thumbed through it. I studied my handwriting. I had lousy handwriting. Nobody could read it but me. That was the good news. Not that anybody would want to read it. I decided to write something. This is what I wrote. I learned how to swim this summer. No, that's not true. Someone taught me. Dante. I tore out the page.
4.
You do icebreakers with your students on the first day of school?
Sure.
Why?
I like to get to know my students.
What for?
Because I'm a teacher.
You get paid to teach government. The First, Second, and Third Amendments to the Constitution. Stuff like that. Why don't you just dive right in?
I teach students. Students are people, Ari.
We're not that interesting.
You're more interesting than you think.
We're difficult.
That's part of your charm.
She had an interesting look on her face. I recognized that look. My mom, she sometimes resided in the space between irony and sincerity. That was part of her charm.
5.
The second day of school. Normal. Except that after school, as I waited for my mom, this girl, Ileana, came up to me. She took out a marker and wrote her name on one of my casts. She looked into my eyes. I wanted to look away. But I didn't. Her eyes were like the night sky in the desert. It felt like there was a whole world living inside her. I didn't know anything about that world.
6.
A 1957 Chevy pickup. Cherry red with chrome fenders, chrome hubcaps, and white wall tires. It was the most beautiful truck in the world, and it was mine. I remember looking into my dad's dark eyes and whispering, "Thank you." I felt stupid and inadequate, and I hugged him. Lame. But I meant it, the thank you and the hug. I meant it. A real truck. A real truck for Ari. What I didn't get. A picture of my brother on one of the walls of our house. You can't have everything. I sat in the truck and had to force myself to rejoin the party. I hated parties, even the ones thrown in my honor. Right then, I would have liked to take the truck out onto the open road, my brother sitting next to me. And Dante, too. My brother and Dante. That would have been enough of a party for me. I guess I did miss Dante, even though I tried hard not to think about him. The problem with trying hard not to think about something was that you thought about it even more. Dante. For some reason, I thought of Ileana. 7. Every day, I got up really early and hobbled over to my truck that was sitting in the garage. I backed it up onto the driveway. There was a whole universe waiting to be discovered in a pickup truck. Sitting in the driver's seat made everything seem possible. It was strange to feel those moments of optimism. Strange and beautiful. Turning on the radio and just sitting there was my version of praying. My mom came out one morning and took a picture of me.
"Where are you going to go?"
she asked.
"To school," I said.
"No," she said. "That's not what I meant. The first time you get to drive that thing, where are you going to take it?"
"The desert," I said. I didn't tell her I wanted to go out and look at all the stars.
By yourself?
Yup, I said.
I knew she wanted to ask me if I was making any new friends at school.
But she didn't. And then her eyes fell on my cast.
Who's Ileana?
Some girl.
Is she pretty?
Too pretty for me, Mom.
Silly boy.
Yeah, silly boy. That night I had a bad dream. I was driving down a street in my pickup. Ileana was sitting right next to me. I looked over and smiled at her. I didn't see him, Dante, standing in the middle of the road. I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop. When I woke up, I was drenched in sweat. In the morning, as I sat in my truck and drank a cup of coffee, my mom came out of the house. She sat on the steps of the porch. She patted the step next to her. She watched me as I awkwardly got down from my truck. She'd stopped hovering. I made my way toward her and sat next to her on the front steps.
"Casts come off next week," she said.
I smiled.
"Yeah."
"Then therapy," she said. "Then driving lessons," I said.
"Your father's looking forward to teaching you."
"You lost the coin toss?" She laughed.
"Be patient with him, okay?"
"Not a problem, Mom." I knew that she wanted to talk to me about something. I could always tell.
"You miss Dante?"
I looked at her.
"I don't know."
"How can you not know?"
"Well, look, Mom, Dante, he's like you. I mean, he hovers sometimes."
She didn't say anything.
"I like being alone, Mom. I know you don't get that about me, but I do."
She nodded and it seemed like she was really listening.
"You were screaming his name last night," she said.
"Oh," I said. "It was just a dream."
"Bad?"
"Yeah."
"You want to talk about it?"
"Not really." She gave me that nudge, the "come on, humor your mom" nudge. "Mom, do you ever have bad dreams?"
"Not often."
"Not like me and Dad."
"You and your father, you're fighting your own private wars."
"Maybe so. I hate my dreams." I could feel my mom listening to me. She was always there. I hated her for that, and loved her. I was driving my truck and it was raining. I didn't see him standing in the middle of the road. I couldn't stop. I couldn't.
"Dante?"
"Yeah." She squeezed my arm.
"Mom, sometimes I wish I smoked."
"I'll take the truck away." "Well, at least I know what's going to happen to me when I break the rules."
"Do you think I'm mean?"
"I think you're strict. Too strict sometimes."
"I'm sorry."
"No, you're not." I clutched at my crutches. "Someday I'm going to have to break some of your rules, Mom."
"I know," she said. "Try to do it behind my back, will you?"
"You can bet on that, Mom." We both sat there and laughed, like Dante and I used to do.
"I'm sorry about your bad dreams, Ari."
"Did Dad hear?"
"Yes."
"I'm sorry."
"You can't help what you dream."
"I know.
I didn't mean to run over him."
"You didn't.
It was just a dream."
I didn't tell her that I hadn't been paying attention. I'd been looking at a girl when I should have been driving. And that's why I ran over Dante. I didn't tell her that.
8.
Two letters from Dante in one day. They were on my bed when I got home from school. I hated that my mom knew about the letters.
Stupid. Why was that?
Privacy. That was it. A guy had no privacy. "Dear Ari, okay, I really am sort of in love with Chicago. I ride the L sometimes and make up stories in my head about the people. There are more black people here than in El Paso. And I like that. There are lots of Irish types and Eastern Europeans,
And of course there are Mexicans. Mexicans are everywhere. We're like sparrows. You know, I still don't really know if I'm a Mexican. I don't think I am. What am I, Ari?
I am not allowed to ride the L at night. I repeat, I am not allowed.
My mom and dad always think that something bad is going to happen to me. I don't know if they were like this before the accident. So I tell my dad, Dad, a car can't run over my ass on an L train. My dad, who is pretty cool about most things, just gave me this look. No riding the L at night. My dad likes his gig here. He only has to teach one class and prepare for a lecture on some topic. I think he's writing about the long poem after modernism or something like that. I'm sure my mom and I will attend the lecture. I love my dad, but I'm not into all this academic stuff. Too much analysis. Whatever happened to reading a book because you liked it? My mom is taking the opportunity to write a book about addictions in young people. Most of her clients are teenage addicts. Not that she really talks about her work all that much. She spends a lot of time in the library these days, and I think she's really enjoying herself. My parents, they're both eggheads. I like that about them. I have some friends. They're okay. Different, I guess. You know, the group of people I got interested in are all goth types. I went to a party and had my first beer. Well, three beers, really. I got a little bit high. Not too high, but a little bit. I can't decide if I like beer or not. I'm thinking that when I get older, I'm going to be a wine drinker. I don't mean the cheap stuff either. I don't think I'm a snob. But my mom says I suffer from only child syndrome. She made that up, I think. And whose fault is that, anyway? Who's stopping them from having another kid? At the party, I got offered a joint. I took a hit or two. Okay, I don't really want to talk about that. My mom would kill me if she knew I was experimenting with mood-altering substances. Beer and pot. Not so bad. But my mom would have a different opinion about that. She's talked to me about what she calls gateway drugs. My eyes glaze over when she gives me the drug talk and she gives me one of her looks. The pot thing and the beer thing, it was just one of those things that happens at a party. Not such a big deal when you think about it. Not that I'm going to have this discussion with my mom. My dad either. Have you drunk a beer? Done pot? Let me know. I heard my mom and dad talking. They've already decided that if my dad gets a job offer here, he's going to turn it down. It's not a good place for Dante. They've already decided that. Of course, they don't ask me. Of course not. What about a little input from Dante himself? Dante likes to speak for himself. Yes, he does. I don't want my parents organizing their world around me. I'm going to disappoint them someday. And then what? The truth is, Ari, I miss El Paso. When we first moved there, I hated it. But now I think about El Paso all the time. And I think of you. Always, Dante. P.S. I go swimming almost every day after school. I cut my hair. It's really short. But short hair is good for swimming. Long hair sucks when you swim every day. Don't know why I ever had it long. Dear Ari, everyone has parties around here. My dad thinks it's great that I get invited. My mom, well, it's hard to guess what she thinks. I can tell she has her eyes open. She told me my clothes smelled like cigarettes after the last party. Some people smoke, I said. Can't help that. I got the look. So Friday night, I went to this party. And of course, there was alcohol. I had a beer and have now decided that beer is not for me. I did like the vodka and orange juice. Ari, there were so many people there. Amazing. We were like roaches. You couldn't move without bumping into someone. So I just walked around talking to people and I was having a good time. Somehow, I found myself talking to this girl. Her name is Emma, and she's smart and nice and beautiful. We were in the kitchen talking, and she said she loved my name. And all of a sudden, she leans into me and kisses me. I guess you could say I kissed her back. She tasted like mint and cigarettes, and it was, well, Ari, it was nice.
We kissed a long time. I smoked a cigarette with her and we kissed some more. She liked touching my face. She told me I was beautiful. No one has ever told me I was beautiful. Moms and dads do not count. And then we went outside. She smoked another cigarette. She asked me if I wanted one. I told her one was enough because I was a swimmer. I'm still thinking about that kiss. She gave me her number. I'm not sure about all this. Your friend, Dante. 9. I tried to picture Dante with short hair. I tried to imagine him kissing a girl. Dante was complicated. Gina would have liked Dante. Not that I was ever going to introduce them. I lay in bed and thought about writing back to him. Instead, I sat down to write in my journal. What would it be like to kiss a girl? Specifically, Ileana. She wouldn't taste like cigarettes. What does a girl taste like when you kiss her? I stopped writing and tried to think of something else. I thought about the stupid essay on the Great Depression that I didn't want to write. I thought about Charlie Escobedo who wanted me to do drugs with him. I started to think about Dante kissing a girl again, and then I thought about Ileana. Maybe she would taste like cigarettes. Maybe she smoked. I didn't know a damn thing about her. I sat up on my bed. No, no, no. No thinking about kissing. And then, I don't know why, but I felt sad. And then I started thinking about my brother. Every time I felt sad, I thought about him. Maybe deep down a part of me was always thinking about him. Sometimes I caught myself spelling out his name. B-E-R-N-A-R-D-O. What was my brain doing, spelling out his name without my permission? I sometimes think that I don't let myself know what I'm really thinking about. That doesn't make much sense, but it makes sense to me. I have this idea that the reason we have dreams is that we're thinking about things that we don't know we're thinking about. And those things, well, they sneak out of us in our dreams. Maybe we're like tires with too much air in them. The air has to leak out. That's what dreams are. And now that I think about it, I'd had a dream about my brother. I was 4 and he was 15 and we were taking a walk. He was holding my hand and I was looking up at him. I was happy. It was a beautiful dream. The sky was blue and clear and pure. Maybe the dream came from a memory. Dreams don't come from nowhere. That's a fact. I think maybe I want to study dreams when I'm old enough to actually choose what I want to study. I sure as hell don't want to study Alexander Hamilton. Yeah, maybe I'll study dreams and where they come from. Freud. Maybe that's what I'll do. I'll write a paper on Sigmund Freud. That way I'll get a head start. And maybe I'll help people out who have bad dreams, so they won't have them anymore. I think I'd like to do that. 10. I've decided that I'm going to find a way to kiss Ileana Tellez. But when? Where? She's not in any of my classes. I hardly see her. Find her locker. That's the plan. 11. On the way back from the doctor's office, my mom asked me if I'd written back to Dante. Not yet. I think you should write to him. Mom, I'm your son, not a suggestion box. She shot me a look. Keep your eyes on the road, I said. When I got back home, I took out my journal and this is what I wrote. If dreams don't come from nowhere, then what does it mean that I ran over Dante in my dream? What does it mean that I had that dream again? Both times I was staring at Ileana when I ran over Dante. Okay, this is not good. The air is leaking out. I don't want to think about this. I can either think about the dreams I have about my brother or I can think about the dreams I have about Dante. Those are my choices. I think I should get a life. 12. When I think about the dream about my brother, I think about the fact that the last time I saw him was when I was 4. So there is a direct connection between the dream and my life. I suppose that's when it all happened. I was 4 and he was 15. That's when he did whatever he did. So now he's in jail. Not jail. Prison. There's a difference. My uncle, he gets drunk sometimes and winds up in jail. That really upsets my mom. But he gets out quick because he doesn't drive when he drinks. He just winds up in stupid places and he gets a little belligerent with people. If the word belligerent hadn't been invented, it would have been invented for my uncle when he drinks. But someone always bails him out. In prison, there's no such thing as bailing someone out. You don't get out quick. Prison is a place you get put away for a long time. So that's where my brother is. Prison. I don't know if he's in a federal prison or in a state prison. I don't know why a guy gets sent to one or the other. It's not something they teach us at school. I am going to find out why my brother is in prison. It's a research project. I've thought about it. I've thought and thought about it. Newspapers. Don't they save old newspapers somewhere? If Dante were here, he could help me. He's smart. He'd know exactly what to do. I don't need Dante. I can do this on my own. 13.
Dear Ari, I hope you got my letters. Okay, that's a disingenuous start. Of course you got my letters. I'm not going to analyze why you haven't written back. Okay, that's not totally true. I have analyzed why there's no letter waiting for me when I get back from swimming. I won't waste good paper on theories that I come up with when I can't sleep at night. This is the deal, Ari. I'm not going to get on your case about writing back. I promise. If I want to write you, then I'll write to you. And if you don't want to write to me, you don't have to. You have to be who you are, and I have to be who I am. That's the way it is. And anyway, I usually did most of the talking. I have another favorite thing to do besides riding the L. Going to the Art Institute of Chicago. Wow, Ari. You should see the art in that place. It's amazing. I wish you were here and we could see all this art together. You'd go nuts. I swear you would. All kinds of art. Contemporary and not so contemporary and, well, I could go on, but I won't. Do you like Andy Warhol? There is a famous painting, Nighthawks, by Edward Hopper. I am in love with that painting. Sometimes I think everyone is like the people in that painting. Everyone lost in their own private universes of pain or sorrow or guilt. Everyone remote and unknowable. The painting reminds me of you. It breaks my heart. But Nighthawks isn't my favorite painting. Not by a long shot. Did I ever tell you what my favorite painting is? It's The Raft of the Medusa by Jericho. There's a whole story behind that painting. It's based on a true story about a shipwreck, and it made Jericho famous. See, the thing about artists is that they tell stories. I mean, some paintings are like novels. Someday I'm going to travel to Paris and go to the Louvre and stare at that painting all day long. I've done the math, and I know that by now your casts are off. I know you said that the rule was that we couldn't talk about the accident. I'm going to say this, Ari. That's an incredibly inane rule. No reasonable person could be expected to keep that rule. Not that I qualify as a reasonable person. So I hope that your therapy is going well and that you're normal again. Not that you're normal. You are definitely not normal. I miss you. Can I say that? Or is there a rule? You know, it's interesting that you have so many rules for things. Why is that, Ari? I suppose everyone has rules for things. Maybe we get that from our parents. Parents are rule givers. Maybe they gave us too many rules, Ari. Did you ever think about that? I think we need to do something about rules. I'm not going to tell you that I miss you anymore. Your friend, Dante.
14. I found Ileana's locker with the help of Susie Bird. Don't tell Gina about this. I won't, she said. I promise.
She promptly broke her promise.
She's trouble, Gina said.
Yeah, and she's 18, Susie said.
So?
You're just a boy. She's a woman.
Trouble, Gina repeated.
I left Ileana a note.
Hi,
it said.
I signed my name. I'm such a jerk. Hi.
What's that?
15. I spent the evening at the public library looking at microfilms of the El Paso Times. I was looking for an article on my brother. But I didn't even know if I had the right year, and I gave up after about an hour and a half. There had to be a better way of doing this kind of research. I thought of writing Dante a letter. Instead, I found an art book on the work of Edward Hopper. Dante was right about nighthawks. It was a great painting. And it was true, what Hopper was saying. I felt as if I were looking in a mirror. But it didn't break my heart. 16. Do you know what dead skin looks like when they take off a cast? That was my life, all that dead skin. It was strange to feel like the Ari I used to be. Except that wasn't totally true. The Ari I used to be didn't exist anymore. And the Ari I was becoming? He didn't exist yet. I came home and took a walk. I found myself staring at the spot where I'd seen Dante holding the bird. I don't know why I was there. I found myself walking in front of Dante's house. There was a dog across the street at the park staring at me. I stared back. He plopped himself on the grass. I walked across the street and the dog didn't move. He just wagged his tail. That made me smile. I sat down on the grass next to him and took off my shoes. The dog scooted himself up to me and put his head on my lap. I just sat there and petted him. I noticed he didn't have a collar. After studying him some more, I discovered that he was a she.
What's your name?
People talk to dogs. Not that they understand. But maybe they understand enough. I thought of Dante's last letter. I'd had to look up the word inane. I got up and walked to the library, which was at the edge of the park. I found an art book that had a picture of the raft of the Medusa. I went home. Ari, the boy who could walk again without the help of crutches. I wanted to tell Dante that his math had been a little off. I got them off today, Dante. Today. On my walk home, I thought about the accident and Dante and my brother, and I wondered if he knew how to swim. I thought about my dad and how he never talked about Vietnam. Even though he had a picture with some of his war buddies hanging on the living room wall, he never talked about that picture or the names of his friends. I asked him once, and it was as if he hadn't heard the question. I never asked again. Maybe the problem between me and my father was that we were both the same. When I got home, I noticed the dog had followed me. I sat on the steps of the front porch and she lay down on the sidewalk looking up at me. My dad came out.
Getting your legs back?
Yeah, I said. He looked at the dog. She followed me home from the park.
Are you interested in him?
It's a she. We were both smiling. And yeah, I said, I'm very interested.
Remember Charlie?
Yeah. I loved that dog.
Me too.
I cried when she died.
Me too, Ari.
We looked at each other.
Seems like a nice dog. No collar?
No collar, Dad. Beautiful.
Beautiful, Ari.
He laughed. Your mother doesn't like dogs in the house. 17. Dear Dante, sorry I haven't written. I really am. I can walk like normal now. Just so you won't feel guilty anymore, okay? The x-rays look good. I've healed, Dante. The doctor says a lot of things could have gone wrong, beginning with the surgery. But, as it happens, nothing went wrong. Imagine, Dante, nothing going wrong.
Okay, I've broken my own rules, so that's enough about that particular topic. I have a new dog! Her name is Legs because I found her the day I got my legs back. She followed me home from the park. My dad and I bathed her in the backyard. She's really a great dog. She just stood there and let us bathe her. Really tame and mellow dog. I don't know exactly what kind she is. The vet's best guess was that she's part pit bull, part Labrador, and part God knows what else. She's white, medium-sized, and has brown circles around her eyes. Really good-looking dog. My mom's only response was, "The dog stays in the yard." That rule didn't last. At night, I let the dog into my bedroom. The dog sleeps at my feet, on the bed. Mom hates that. She gave in pretty easily, though. "Well, at least you have a friend," she said. My mom doesn't think I have any friends. That's sort of true. But I'm not good at making friends. I'm okay with that. Not much to report other than the dog. No, wait, guess what? I got a 1957 Chevy pickup for my birthday. Lots of chrome. I love the truck. A real Mexican truck, Dante. All I need are hydraulics to bounce around in. Like that's going to happen. Hydraulics. My mom just looked at me. Who's going to pay for it? I'll get a job, I said. Dad gave me my first driving lesson. We went out on some deserted farm road in the upper valley. I did pretty well. I have to get the gear thing down. I'm not very smooth about shifting, and I killed the truck a couple of times trying to shift into second. It's all timing. Push in the clutch, shift, gas, clutch, shift, gas, drive. Someday soon I'm going to learn to do all of those things in one smooth motion. It will be like walking. I won't even have to think about it. After the first lesson, we parked the truck and my dad smoked a cigarette. He smokes sometimes, but never in the house. Sometimes he smokes in the backyard, but not very often. I asked him if he was ever going to quit. It helps with the dreams. I know his dreams are about the war. I sometimes try to picture him in the jungles of Vietnam. I never ask him anything about the war. I guess it's something he has to keep to himself. Maybe it's a terrible thing to keep a war to yourself. But maybe that's the way it has to be. So, instead of asking him about the war, I asked him if he ever dreamed about Bernardo, my brother. Sometimes. That's all he said. He drove my truck back home and didn't say another word. I think I upset him by bringing up my brother. I don't want to upset him, but I do. I always upset him. And other people, too. I guess that's what I do. And I upset you, too. I know that. And I'm sorry. I'm doing the best I can, okay? So if I don't write as many letters as you do, don't be upset. I'm not doing it to upset you, okay? This is my problem. I want other people to tell me how they feel, but I'm not so sure I want to return the favor. I think I'll go sit in my truck and think about that. Ari. 18. This is the list of what my life is now. Studying to get my driver's license and studying hard to get into college. This makes my mom happy. Lifting weights in the basement. Running with Legs, who is not only a great dog, but also a great runner. Reading Dante's letters. Sometimes I get two a week. Arguing with Gina Navarro and Susie Bird about anything. Trying to find ways of running into Ileana at school. Looking through microfilms of the El Paso Times at the library, trying to find out something about my brother. Writing in my journal. Washing my truck once a week. Having bad dreams. I keep running Dante down on that rainy street. Working 20 hours at the charcoaler. Flipping burgers isn't so bad. 4 hours on Thursday after school, 6 hours on Friday nights, and 8 hours on Saturday. Dad won't let me cover extra shifts. That list just about covered all my life. Maybe my life isn't all that interesting, but at least I'm busy. Busy doesn't mean happy. I know that. But at least I'm not bored.
Being bored is the worst. I like having money, and I like the fact that I'm not dead.